Here we go. It is hour number five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll get Cowboys highlights from that presser here in a few minutes. I have our first dip into a wild card weekend preview. A super wild card weekend is on the cards. 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, and then the Monday night. Some cool things to know about this wild card slate here coming for you in just a second. Okay, how about the inexperienced QB factor? Check this out. You got new QBs coming into the mix here. You got Bryce Young against Matt Stafford. You got Caleb Williams against Jordan Love. You got Drake May against Justin Herbert. How much are you holding their inexperience against them when it comes to picking who's going to be victorious in these contests? Since 2002, QBs making their first playoff start are 20-40. Mm. And even at home, slightly better, 12-20. So history says, out of those three, one guy will win on average. Which one would you pick to get it done? Is it Bryce Young against the Rams? Is it Caleb Williams against the Packers? Or is it Drake May against the Chargers?
I mean, I like Bears and Patriots this week, so I guess May and Caleb, I think, would be my two selections there.
I would definitely pick Drake May. I think that the Patriots, you're going to get the win at home. I don't know about Caleb. I hope that Caleb Williams and the Bears win, but those games against Green Bay have been tough. I mean, it was a Hail Mary that got them that win. I wouldn't be – now, it's supposed to snow, you know, so we can get our first snow game. That'll be fun in the postseason. That'll be a nighttime, primetime game.
The NFL does that all the time.
Snowing in Chicago.
They are all about trying to get the snow game. You know, they're trying to get the tuck game again. The NFL loves the snow game. Especially in the playoffs.
How about that game being on Prime Video, though? Like how many people, like, for a playoff game, dude?
Is this, like, the third straight year they did it? Like, last year, was it Chiefs at Dolphins? Was that 2 years ago now?
That was Peacock, which they're also doing Patriots and Chargers.
This is the thing now. I mean, it's all going to go to streaming. Netflix, I'm sure, is going to get themselves a game now soon. I mean, the Super Bowl might end up on Netflix.
Did I see that? I did, and it's. I'm looking at the schedule results right now. They only won one game all year against a team that finished 500. This New England Patriots team. Do you believe in these guys? Really, for real?
Well, it's interesting because the AFC. It's like, who do you really believe?
Yeah,
you know, like there's. I think there's a ton of question marks there, but ultimately, no. I think that was part of the reason I thought the Patriots would make the postseason this year is because their schedule was just so easy. I mean, it really was the easiest schedule in the league coming in, and so they haven't really been tested by anybody legit. They were able to beat the Bills, but we've seen the Bills aren't the same type of Bills team that we've seen over the last few years. So, I mean, I'm looking at the defenses here because the AFC is stacked with good defenses. Broncos, Texans, Jags, and, I mean, the Chargers. Like, those are all really, really good defenses. And so which quarterback can kind of do just enough versus one of those teams? So I think it's pretty wide open in the AFC. And if you told me the Patriots made it to the AFC championship game, I wouldn't be shocked because you don't have a juggernaut Chiefs team or a juggernaut Bills team or something that we're used to seeing, or Joe Burrow in the Bengals, somebody like that. So I could see it.
All right, how about this stat? And I believe it kind of supports what we've been talking about, or at least I have, with a common flaw in team building right now is just get into the tournament and we'll make something happen. I mean, it happened for several teams from like 2000 to 2012. But since 2008, the eventual Super Bowl champion has at least come from the top eight in the Super Bowl odds entering the playoffs each year, including from the top six in each of the past 12 seasons. The last team to win outside the top six in odds entering the playoffs was the 2012 Ravens under Jim Harbaugh, one of the last wild card teams. Tampa won as a wild card, but it was one of those deals where they had so many injuries and they were getting healthy, and everybody was like, Tom Brady, okay, you have this top six odds to get this done. They might have been one of the favorites. The top six teams in Super Bowl odds entering the playoffs this year: Seahawks, Rams, Broncos, Eagles, Bills, and Patriots, if that trend does in fact hold. But I think it's a flaw in thinking we just got to win this division and then we're in the hunt for a Super Bowl. You got to look across the entire conference and say we got to try to build the best roster on paper.
Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, with how wide open it is this year, I do think this could be one of those outlier years where a Jags team or a Texans team could go out there and make some noise, just because, again, I think a lot of these teams, the gap from the Broncos in the one seed to like the Chargers at the seven seed, I don't think it's that great.
This Texans matchup is fascinating because you have the Monday Night Football stat at home. The Steelers are 23-1 in their last 24 Monday Night Football games. And then you have the cold weather stuff, like with Houston, a dome team. Like, dome teams in January on the road sub 40 degrees, they're 1-14 in their last 15 games.
Yeah.
So there's a number of things going on here. But of course, the Steelers have lost six playoff games in a row as well.
Yeah. And C.J. Stroud, Ohio State quarterback, so he's played in the cold plenty. And you saw the Texans go into Kansas City on a Sunday night, what, maybe a month ago or so, and it was pretty dang cold. And like, that defense, I think, is physical and will travel. And I think maybe they're more uniquely able to sustain it, especially when you consider the opponent, which is not a high-flying Steelers team by any stretch.
All right, since 2003, next wild card weekend stat to hit you with. Super Bowl winning quarterbacks are 64-25-2 against the spread as an underdog in the playoffs. Those quarterbacks are 26-8 against the spread as a dog before winning the ring, and 38-17 after the ring. So it's crazy how, you know, I guess they're so good that it's predicting success even before they actually officially have that ring. But that applies this week to Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers is the only team that particular stat applies to. But they are so flawed. I mean, I could see the Steelers being shut out against this Houston Texans defense.
Very well could happen, especially if they can't run the football. I don't know what to ever think about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it took a couple of bombs in that fourth quarter to get them the win. Houston's defense is definitely the reason why I would favor them, but there is something wonky about that stat. Like, Monday night at home, they haven't lost. And Houston, look, give C.J. Stroud credit. He's won the first playoff game every year of his career so far that he's been in there. It's the second round he hasn't been able to get over that hump. So I'd still lean Houston in this one. But that really, I feel like, is a pick 'em type of game.
All right, we do have the biggest. Yeah, Brian?
Can I ask a real quick question, though? I have not watched the Texans play a ton. Are they bad running the ball?
Yeah, they're struggling right now.
Yeah, okay. I think they're 30th in the NFL.
Okay.
Red zone offense has been bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because I was just looking at just because of cold weather situations, chopped up field, all that stuff. Rushing under center, they're 31st. Rushing in the red zone, they're 32nd. Rushing overall efficiency, 28th. 29th in design runs. 26th in outside runs. This sounds like kind of a nightmare. Rushing against stack box, 31. You know, it seems like to me that the Texans – this might be a little bit of a problem for them if they can't have any kind of a running game.
Yeah, that Joe
right?
Mixon injury really got them. It did. Really slowed them down.
Never played this year, and their offensive line we knew was going to be banged up. They've been winning with, of course, the passing attack, being able to hit big plays from Nico Collins, and then the plethora of Iowa State receivers, you know, whether it's Higgins or Knoll, and then the defense. I mean, the defense has really carried them to where they are.
We do have the biggest wild card home dog in playoff history, Panthers 10.5. The crazy thing, all of their wins this year have come while being underdogs. They're 8-9. They have the smallest percentage chance on Pauley Market to win the Super Bowl at 1%. But every game they were favored in, they lost, and there wasn't many of them. They are the only team to do that in the Super Bowl era.
Wow.
I would say it's kind of doable for them. For everything the Rams do well, they are just average stopping the run, and that's got to be the path to victory for them is Rico Dowdle getting loose. Yeah, over the last three games, the Rams are giving up over 6 yards per rush attempt as they face Seattle, Atlanta, and Arizona down the stretch. So you got to be thinking, try to go for 200 yards again for Rico Dowdle to give them any chance. And, you know, plus they're hosting. You got a West Coast team traveling east. A lot of new blood, though. One preseason division favorite ended up on top. That is it. Out of the eight divisions, only one preseason division favorite actually won their division going into the playoffs. That would be your Philadelphia Eagles. That is the fewest in a season since 2008. And for the first time since 2000, had a win total over unders at 11 or above, missed the playoffs. So two teams with an over-under at 11 or above win total missed the playoffs. That would be the Chiefs and the Ravens, as we're getting quite a bit of turnover here. Okay, the biggest takeaway from Cowboys press conference earlier today, I don't know what jumped out exactly to you guys, but you know, we were riding in the optimism of Stephen Jones saying we'll go all in. And before you were, you know, 10 or 15 minutes into that press conference, they were fielding multiple questions about their free agent approach. And at this point, I think you would have to say it's appropriate to dial back expectations to roughly what they have done. We're dependent upon Jerry Jones having his way against Stephen Jones in this. And if that does not happen, I think it's going to be very, very conservative. I just wonder how long they think this can work. You know, I think they're telling us and telling the public, we don't have to change anything. We can continue to team build like this, and the fan base is going to remain interested and engaged. Mm-mm. We've seen the media, we've seen the sports radio fans, we've seen the legends all dial back their belief in a significant way since that loss against the Packers in 2023.
Yep.
And it's not making them, even back-to-back losing seasons for the first time in 23 years is not bringing them off of that belief that they can continue to manage like this and, you know, get significant buy-in from the fan base.
Yeah, they have to change something or else it's going to end up being the same thing. Maybe, hey, they end up winning a couple more games. Are they a wild card team? Can they find a way to win a division if it ends up not being any good? But you're going to end up having ultimately the same end result where you're not even getting a conference championship game. So I think for a lot of fans, and I know I felt this way, I got to see it to believe it. I'm not going to get my hopes up that they will be aggressive in free agency. I really do think my takeaway was Jerry would like to. I think if Jerry, and Jerry is the final decision maker, but he even said it again today, he's a consensus guy. Mm-hmm. And it's been that way since he bought the team, since he started doing this. And I think that the people around him, and maybe it's Steven, I don't know, I don't know the inner workings of that. But the big picture mindset of it, which Jerry probably right now, to everything, Brian, you've alluded to, I don't have time to have a bad time. He probably doesn't have it anymore, but he might want to do these crazy things and go all in. I will say this is one of those free agent classes where it looks like, you're probably going to overpay for a lot of these guys. But the thing is, I think now I know I'm there, and a lot of other fans probably follow suit. I don't give a damn. Do it. Overpay for them. I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire and be like, why'd you go ahead and overpay for Devin Lloyd? Why? Because you need to. You've got so many holes, you don't have any other way to legit be a Super Bowl contender next year if you don't do that. The draft is not going to fix all your problems, and you don't have a day two pick. Yeah. So you really are going to rely on your picks on day three to come in and be starters for you? That's foolish.
You might get one.
Maybe.
You know, sometimes you get lucky with an Anthony Brown or a Deron Bland or something, but those don't come around very often.
Not often, and we've seen more likely it's going to be, oh gosh, we're hurt at corner, Kalen Carson, you've got to play for us, and now you ruin the kid's confidence. And will he ever develop? I don't know. The answer right now is probably no. He's a hurt guy, and I think his confidence was killed by having to play 2 years ago. So doing it the way they've done it, status quo, and don't BS us by, oh, we re-signed Javonte Williams. Oh, we brought back Clowney. Oh, we brought back George Pickens. That's not it. Yeah. They've done that one too many times, too, where we're keeping our own guys. That's not going to be enough for you. You've got to bring in players from the outside. And that's why Carl Scott, one, I think he could be a phenomenal coach. The resume is great. But I'm also selling it to myself as like, hey, Bobby put out awesome numbers. They really do let the defensive coordinator, especially a new hire, have say in who they bring in free agency. Seahawks have a lot of good, talented free agents. Maybe if they went that way, he'd bring some of them in.
There's just no coach that's going to be able to get it done unless you're getting tremendous edge pressure and good coverage with your corners. You know, you probably need 3 to 4 good players, and you have 2 first-round picks. And Jerry was laying the groundwork today, I felt, by saying, if we had had Micah, we wouldn't be able to re-sign George Pickens. We wouldn't have been able to acquire Quinnen Williams. And he kind of started to say the best part of the Micah Parsons trade is still to come, but then he realized that's ridiculous. We've already seen quite a bit of the fruit that's going to result from the Micah Parsons trade. It's Quinnen Williams, and then it's a couple of first-round picks, but they're not going to add anything of substance in free agency is my read on this.
Yeah, but you know, the things you had to ask yourself, though, when the season started, you felt like the offense had a chance to be really, really good, and it was. But you had nobody that could close a game.
No.
You had nobody that, I mean, every time that you needed a stop or you needed to get off the field, you couldn't. What was the number? It was incredible. How many drives ended up in Somebody had a stat.
91 of 177, either a field goal or a touchdown. Over half the time,
scoring
drives.
Half the time, a scoring drive. I mean, what do we? I couldn't believe somebody would stand there and say, "Oh no, we're going to be fine." No, your offense was going. You felt like your offense was going to be really, really good. And and listen, I understand Jerry and Micah had problems, and that's why you made the trade. But man, like, you had no ability to close the game, none. But you were going to score points, but you had no way to get guys off the field, opponents off the field, and they thought, oh no, we'll be fine, we'll manufacture. You didn't do anything, and you're thinking about maybe going in and doing the same thing you just did. That's ridiculous.
So what do we got? Two sacks for Ezeraku. How big of a jump can he make in year two?
I don't know. I'm the biggest Donovan Ezeraku. I was thinking eight sacks myself.
Yeah.
He actually beat better offensive tackles in the ACC for sacks than he played in some of these games this year with offensive tackles, and didn't win nearly enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it just did not win when you thought, you know, when you're thinking, man, this guy could dip it, he could rip, he could get low, he can attack. Maybe that has something to do with what everybody's talking about, that they didn't use him the right way. But, man, I felt like he played better players and had success in the ACC than he did this year, and didn't do nearly what he needed to do.
Some interesting stuff from Steven. He was talking about, we got to get coaches and draft picks in here that can improve the team immediately. So, you know, look for that. I think when it comes to the hires, finding good fits, not somebody to rebuild from the ground up. Mm-hmm. And then with players, you know, not tradesy guys with high floors that, you know, had a very productive collegiate career and stands to reason can, you know, step in and at least be a starter as a rookie. But on the team needs, he mentioned linebacker and then went to secondary. And when edge came up, he just mentioned bringing back Jadeveon Clowney. And before, you know, week 18, he was sitting on 5.5 sacks and was really inconsistent with his ability to go get the quarterback. So I don't think what they have in-house, you know, can give you any sort of confidence. Shoddy on the defense, the number one thing we have to do is stop the run and take the ball away. Maybe playing more man, maybe having more blitzes and having a linebacker that actually has some awareness over the middle there could take incremental steps in that direction. But they need a massive influx in talent if they're going to fix that. And looking for a DC, he wants a great teacher and a great communicator, looking to you know, basically take what he's done on the offensive side of the ball and bring that onto the defensive side as well, and see if they can get better synergy going in that department. Okay, we got a sports hodgepodge coming up here next. Chief, where are you taking us?
The number one team in college football is Mark Cuban to thank, plus fresh Harbaugh rumors, and we grade the Peach Bowl concession item next to the nation.
Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Chief of that hodgepodge.
Yeah, plenty to get to right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it
to
is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly.
We
no one's
thousands.
Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, do you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, you rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Little shock jock stuff.
A lot of people think John Harbaugh is going to end up with the Giants. Still might be the case, but you have Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants, saying that the spot to watch as top competition right now for John Harbaugh would actually be Miami.
Well.
I can't imagine the check that their owner is going to write if they're able to pull that off, because there is really not a single redeeming quality unless you just like living around the ocean.
Harbaugh could, though, because they're going to hire a new general manager, right?
Yeah, so I guess they could give him some say on who that guy's going to be.
Harbaugh could walk in there and kind of line that thing up to get a personnel guy that he really likes. So, yeah, I think that... You know, there's plenty of guys. The funny thing about some of these personnel guys that have left the Ravens and gone on to other places, they haven't really worked out. You know, because they've got guys. There's like two or three. I remember just every year it seemed like that somebody, George Kukinis, and there was a guy that.
It's a fake name.
No, George Kukinis is his real name. There was a guy that was that ran the Senior Bowl that was the Alabama. Alabama play-by-play guy that, I'll come up with these names.
He ran the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy.
No, it's okay.
He's in Oklahoma.
Jim Nagy. Don't worry about that. But anyway,
Matt's the other coach.
But I'm just telling you, though.
Alabama guy.
Yeah. Look it up right while I'm talking. He did the play-by-play for Alabama football. But they've had guys that have left. They have left
Baltimore
and gone on to be general managers at other places.
Mm-hmm.
And then these guys have failed. I mean, Ozzie Newsome has been kind of the guy that's, you know, he's retired now there at with the Ravens. But man, he is he's a guy that kind of was putting everything together. But they've struggled a little bit with guys that have left there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if they give him a bunch of autonomy and a huge paycheck, maybe they, maybe he's willing to do it.
Eli Gold?
No.
That's the
I'll look it up.
Chris
I'm sorry.
Stewart? That's the new voice.
Yeah, I'll look it up. Some of these guys, like I say, I'll look up the failed guys, the failed Raven guys, and I'll have it for you here in a second.
Okay, it looks like Mark Cuban is helping fund Indiana Hoosier NIL money.
Oh, look at him go.
Yeah, one of the wealthiest alumni for IU, and he's made another donation to their athletic department since they're undefeated and rocking and rolling, and he says he's super committed for this portal right now, and the Hoosiers getting set to play in the playoff game at the Peach Bowl on Friday night, but they've already stocked up in the portal. So I guess Mark Cuban is a big reason why they're able to find and pay a bunch of dudes like TCU's Josh Hoover to play quarterback.
Do we know how long this has been going on for? Is he like a direct reason? Is he like the Cody Campbell of Bloomington?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I got to see how long this goes back. Like, I want to say part of this it coincides with Cignetti getting in there and getting that thing turned around and him being like, oh, okay, let's see. In 2015, he gave IU $5 million for a sports media center and gave $6 million in October to fund the school's rugby club. But he had never donated directly to the athletic department until December of 2024 after Cignetti shocked the college football world. They go 11-2. So I think that's when he felt like, okay, this is worth investing in a little
bit. Put him over the top.
We'll get a little bit of a payoff here out of this. Yeah, he's having a good time with it.
So what happened with Phil Knight at Oregon back in the day? They went to the Rose Bowl in like 99. He was like, I think I want to start buying you guys some players.
Phil Savage.
I couldn't remember his name.
That's nice work, Wolchuk.
Yeah, Phil Savage.
Did you guys see how much Mestemaker's getting? UNT quarterback, Oklahoma State.
What is it, at least $3 million?
Yeah, he's getting $3.5 million for year one, and if he stays for year two, he will get $4 million.
I'm sure he'll stay for year two.
God bless America.
So $7.5 million is what Oklahoma State. They decided to open up the checkbook a little bit once they got old Gundy out of town. I guess they felt like okay, now we want to start giving money to the program.
Well, him and T. Boone Pickens didn't like each other.
Yeah, that's pretty well documented, but. They're getting they're getting all the cheddar they can handle right now.
They're getting all of North Texas.
Mestemaker's getting the bag. You had the crazy situation with Washington and their quarterback, and so it looks like they're going to move off of him. And I think they're still going to try and make it really, really difficult from like a lawsuit standpoint and make sure that guys like Damon Williams can't do what he did, which is sign a deal. That is a binding deal with Washington just last week, and then last night says, nah, I'm going to get back in the portal because another team, maybe it's LSU, maybe it's another team that wants to give him even more money. And so there's a bunch of fallout from that. But one of the things is Missouri has already welcomed in, Washington is welcoming in Missouri transfer quarterback Bo Pribula, and it looks like they're going to get a deal done. So they're going to move off of Damon Williams and go to Pribula and make him their quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think there's an end to this story until you can enter a formal collective bargaining agreement with the college players, because they're still trying to do workarounds to make sure the university isn't on the hook for this money. You know, you're going to have to do normal, revenue generating business through advertising for your program, bring in all of that revenue, and then out of that pot, pay the kids. But the workarounds they're trying to do now, I think, are part of the problem, because it's preventing them from getting like ironclad contracts with what amounts to professional athletes.
Yeah. Yeah. So if it's not Pribula, apparently Washington has a handful of quarterbacks that they got lined up that they're going to host over the coming days. So whether it's Pribula or one of these other guys, it looks like they're ready to just move off of the Damon Williams idea after that thing's kind of blown up in their face.
You had the best point a few hours back that at this point, you know, the guy doesn't want to be there, you know, and it's just weird. So it's probably in the best interest. But I do wonder if any of these agreements are actually enforceable. If this one's not. Like, you had a contract for the kid.
Right.
You're like, okay, cool. We're good at quarterback for an entire week as the portal is open.
Yeah.
We don't have to work on this, guys.
Yeah.
And then he says, surprise, I'm not going to be here. You know, so it is rare that I take the university side in this entire labor thing, but I do feel horrible for them, you know?
No, this is a big moment, and it's big for the rest of just entire college football as a whole. Like, Washington's got to do something about this, and they got to do it for the good of the sport, really. It's not even about them.
Yeah, you know, maybe you let the player go, but, like, you got to pursue this in a court of law, I feel like, to try to. And I don't even think it's Washington. I think the Big Ten and the NCAA comes in here
absolutely.
With their lawyers.
Okay, this is a crazy one. Peacock, NBC's Peacock, their audio enhancements will allow fans to mute announcers and adjust crowd noise during sports broadcasts.
Brilliant.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
So they're integrating Dolby products that will enhance the sights and sounds of the games. And you're going to have the capability to, I guess, adjust it to your liking. Just totally muting the play-by-play crew and lowering the crowd noise or raising it up, like however you want to do it. Just an interesting thing that they have from a streaming standpoint, that they have capabilities that like just traditional TV broadcasts don't have.
I wonder if you can like cut one of the announcers, you know, because some of these guys are bad. I would cut entirely Tirico and Collinsworth. I don't want to hear them ever again talking about the football game that's on.
You're not a Tirico guy, huh?
No. No, it's awkward. He's like the biggest nerd in sportscasting.
He's up there. Yeah, we could do a top 10 nerds in sportscasting. He's definitely on that list, Will Chuck, I would imagine. Now, let's grade the Peach Bowl concession item. Oregon and Indiana, they'll have a chance at a 2-foot dueling brisket sando.
2-foot dueling sandwich.
So it's $35, and basically one half is like Indiana inspired, and the other half the 2-footer is Oregon inspired.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Where's this game?
This is in Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. But those are the two teams obviously
Chick-fil-A
playing.
Peach Bowl.
Yeah. So
Dawson, what are we known for in Oregon is food wise? Are we eating? Is it a salmon deal and stuff like that? What do we got going?
No, they're not going crazy. It's a brisket sandwich. Like
it's
the whole
a brisket
thing
sandwich?
Is a brisket sandwich, but then the toppings change based on, you know, one 12-inch to the other. So, like on Indiana's half.
I didn't know what brisket was when I moved here from the Northwest.
See, that's what I'm saying. I thought they were the sandwiches were half, and it was something that was tied to Oregon and something that was tied to Indiana.
I think it's really just about the colors. I think that's the only, like what they're doing there. They're leaning into the Oregon colors and they're leaning into the Indiana colors.
So brisket. So, okay, it's going to be brisket or some type chimichurri, like a green.
No, the green for Oregon is going to be pickles.
Oh.
Brisket, pickles, and brown sugar barbecue sauce is the Oregon side. Okay.
All right, that makes sense.
So 12 inches of Oregon brisket sando has pickles, brown sugar, barbecue sauce.
Something red. Is this going to be tomatoes?
This is kind of a silly deal.
So on Indiana's half, you get the brisket, of course. Then you get coleslaw, pickled onions.
You can't really tell.
And cherry bourbon barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Buster!
So they're feeling pretty good about their brisket down there at the Peach Bowl committee.
They're thinking
of new ways to sell it. Yeah.
Well, and they're the place that has the awesome cheap concession items at Mercedes-Benz
Stadium. I think that's for just the Falcons games.
No, I think that they do that for the college games.
Overall?
Yeah. Now, obviously, this one is not part of it, but I think the rest of the like usual vendors they have also are included in that.
Oh, that's a first.
That's a Friday night game, so you can't get the Chick-fil-A there.
Yeah, the Chick-fil-A would be open.
I kind of felt like the NCAA would not allow them to have cheap concessions.
NCAA wants to get that money.
Yeah.
And maybe they stepped in and they said, hey, screw you, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Your vendors need to up your prices. And we got to get all new menus.
I'd like a chance to just take that whole thing down. Like,
it looks good.
Both sides sound good to me.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
I think if you did the coleslaw, do it with the pulled pork.
Yeah, that's usually the pairing, right?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Someone said the Oregon side should have mushrooms on it.
Yeah. That's what I was asking Dawson. I wasn't sure what we were going to eat in Oregon.
What is the staple food in Oregon?
A run-of-the-mill brisket sandwich on one side, and then on the other side, you'll start tripping balls once you get to the final couple of inches.
Yeah. Enjoy the first quarter, because after that, you're going to want to go crawl into the bleachers. Have some alone time.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll crosstalk with The Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking here for on a Wednesday night in The Fan. All right, welcome back, Nation. Headline of the morning news this evening, updated 12 minutes ago, Jerry Jones still can't sell Micah Parsons' trade as a sequel to the Herschel Walker haul. That's right, he was trying to bring up Herschel Walker again today. I forgot about that. It was a lengthy presser. This thing went on for an hour and a half. Like, KNC took an hour of it, and then it just kept on going and going and going. And I felt like Jerry doesn't want to stop talking until he feels satisfied, but he just kept digging himself deeper and deeper.
I love the fact that he pulled a Kenny Rogers reference. You picked a good time to leave me Lucille. I was like, okay, now we've really come full circle. And for all the real ones out there, if you know the Anthony Hamilton remake of Lucille as well. So for all my R&B heads out there as well.
Can we just be grateful for a second that we get to hear Jerry Jones pressers in person sometimes, obviously on our airwaves, because they're one of one. There's going to be people that go their whole lifetimes and they hear their owner and GM. Boring.
There'll never be another Jerry.
They will never be. We get this firsthand, gentlemen. Think about that. There's so many people that are going to go through their sports lives and have boring pressers. Maybe they win.
Yeah.
Maybe they win. That's good and all, wins and losses.
Are you saying they play playoff football right now?
Maybe. Yeah. But you know what we get at the end of the day? Entertainment every day.
Yeah, a lot of owners are recluses. They barely even talk to people, won't make eye contact with them. We're lucky enough to have the one that wants to be the center of attention.
You could have Donald Sterling.
Yeah, you could.
We have a lady owner in Indy.
Did you hear what he said about her last night?
Ursae Gordon?
Yeah.
You think she's a baddie?
He went on and on.
Dude, she's got some crazy eyes.
I love them. I love them.
You've got a thing right now for like gilfy chicks.
Is this Ursae's daughter?
Yeah. Ursae Gordon, the brunette?
She might not even qualify as a gilf. I don't know how old she is.
45.
Okay.
She's set up.
She could be a gilf.
She could be.
You know, depending on when she started her own family.
You're very right. You're very true.
Okay, I got a question. You guys are smart, and I trust your opinion.
Don't say that.
I'm just hit that right there.
Did you point at Wolchuk when you said that?
All of you gentlemen. As you
Eric,
saw,
you piped down over there.
I came in with a burger.
Uh-huh.
We got in a heated debate yesterday because Fred, for some reason.
Two days ago.
Wanted to defend the Burger King burger, which is, I think is the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. When it comes to fast food burgers.
It's cheeks, bro.
It's bottom of the barrel.
That hurts coming from you.
he's always
I'm with you.
Burger
I love the Burger King burger. Flamboyled. Some great items.
Whopper
with flame.
Whopper with cheese.
Whopper. Eric's an idiot.
Eric is an idiot.
That's a good flavor to it.
Yep. No, yeah, the flame grill patty.
Bottom of the barrel. Because this is my thing. I think I like a smash patty. I like it.
Yeah.
A little bit of squeeze. I don't want a burger that's, I don't know how to describe it, where it's too
spongy.
Flat.
Obviously,
too
spongy. Stop.
But tell me what you do with the thumb, though.
You've got a thumb. Like, my favorite burger, In-N-Out's up there. Brahms is up there. Whataburger's up there. All three in the top five.
Whataburger.
But you thumb
dominates.
Your burger?
But number one, easy, by 20 points, is Steak and Shake. Garlic steak burger, that thing's melting in your hands. And I put my thumb right in the middle, make a whole indent in the middle.
Like a donut?
For what? Like a donut. That's how squishy and juicy the burger is.
Oh, you want the thumbprint.
You want to know that you can do that. That's the sign of a good burger.
Burger King, you do that, it's bouncing off. It's dry.
Yeah,
it's
trampoline.
Well, he's prepping himself for when he goes and gets a prostate exam.
Okay. So you do this to all your burgers? You unwrap them and then you see if you can put your thumb through the middle of it?
I mean, I don't want to actually. I don't want my thumb to go through it.
Do you take the butt off?
No, I can. There's an imprint. There's a small imprint, guys. Small imprint.
Lucius is ashamed right now to even be looking at Lake.
My point was that that's the best burger.
And I have to try it. I don't think I've ever had one.
You've never had a Steak and Shake
steak
burger.
Steak and Shake is underrated.
Steak and Shake is good. You ever go to the Combine at 3 in the morning, they're really good.
The Frisco Melt's pretty damn nasty.
I'd put
in
it
a good in way. A great way.
And yeah. I would put it top 5 out of burgers you could even get at a restaurant. It's the garlic steak burger from Steak and Shake. It's the number one fast food by grandma.
You need to get out.
I've had great burgers.
I don't know about that.
You're putting your thumb in the...
Like, if you go to like a real burger place, you're like putting your thumb in the middle of it, like in front of everybody?
Like I said, I like smash burgers. I don't like a big, thick, tall burger.
I'm with you on that.
I want to be able to actually eat it, not just say it look cool at the table.
You don't like the vegetables, which makes it small.
Yeah, I like a flatter burger.
Carnivore.
Yeah, the smash burger, the
meat, cheese, bacon, grilled onion. It's all I need.
Yeah,
I don't need lettuce. Oh, I don't want to eat a salad. There's a salad on the side.
Thank you. I don't know about the onions on that one.
I mean, the burger, ketchup, cheese, bacon combination is so flavorful and perfect. Why would you want to mess that up with a salad?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I knew we. Yeah. You like salads on your stuff, don't you?
I'm not going to say no to some lettuce and tomato.
I have everything on
mine. Pickles. Pickles are must.
I've heard enough, Chief.
Everything.
Yeah, I'm good either way. I'll go plain and dry, or I'll load that bad boy up.
I mean, I like everything you described.
Yeah.
I think that's
but
a delicious
just
burger.
Add too.
No, I mean, if it comes the way that you're describing it, I'm cool with it. But
I'm not
going to be like, no. I used to be a no tomato person growing up.
Mm. But I still tomatoes kick ass.
I'm now an adult,
yeah.
and I like a tomato.
That's fair.
Love a tomato.
Fred?
What's that?
Your burger.
What's coming up on the show? We got a minute to go. And then the Cowboys Hour, you're going to have Nate and Tommy and CA and Bobby Bell tonight.
I heard Tommy just started looking at players.
Hard out.
He just tweeted out Caleb Downs and David Bailey are on the top of my list.
Got 40 seconds. Tease something.
TBD. We might have Ted Johnson on tonight, depending upon if I can switch him from 7:40 to 8:20. And then our boy Ben Troop previewing the college football playoffs and the NFL playoffs as well.
Darren Peterson, what'd you think last night?
Hooper.
Love it. Love it.
Has he been healthy? Does he have injury concerns?
It's a long story. His family's involved.
I told you, you paid the guy
$4 million.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control here, 75 and 635.
Killed this.
Just went 5 flawless once again. Thanks to Bobby Belt, Zach Wolchuk, or Bobby Belt, Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafalo. Belt's next with the guys. You're going home with a nation salute.
Thanks, Bobby.